It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. And here is a medley of all the hits by Mungo Jerry. Thank you. And this completes our medley of Mungo Jerry hits here on KTEL 550. We were talking about that last week, weren't we?
Yeah.
About the K and KTEL dying. I am Paul Harris. Ian Geis and Dan Strauss are here with me. And Colin Jeffrey now joins us for the showbiz segment of the show. Colin, how are you?
Doing well. How are you, Paul?
Good. I was mentioning last hour in promoting the fact that you were coming up to do this review of Captain America Civil War, the newest one from the Marvel Universe, that this is the only time I can remember in a very long time that only one movie was opening on a Friday here in the St. Louis area. All the other studios just cleared everything away. Can you remember this happening before?
Not really.
Didn't happen for Batman versus Superman. Didn't happen for Star Wars The Force Awakens.
No. And last week I told you Mother's Day, they should have waited until this week to bring it out, because it'd be at least some competition to this.
Demographically, it probably wouldn't draw the same people who would be going to see another comic book movie.
Mm. Well, that's assuming Mother's Day would draw anyone.
Yeah. I heard somebody today say, oh, I know the reviews are terrible, but I'm going to go anyway. Well, you know, there's nothing you can do at that point.
Yeah. 11 million worldwide through its first 10 days. So,
and considering that Julia Roberts got paid $15 million for 3 days' work, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
They didn't even make her salary back at the box office.
No. No.
Amazing. No. So you went to see Captain America Civil War because you are a designated comic book movie guy.
Yeah. And with everyone else in America this weekend.
Not everyone.
Most.
Well, then check. Ian?
No.
Dan?
No.
Oh,
Paul?
That's horrible.
No.
That's...
So here's...
We went and saw Keanu.
What did you think?
Loved it. Thought it was
it everything we told you it
yes,
was last week?
Yes.
It was an 8 out of 10.
I thought it was hysterical.
Very, very funniest movie of the year, I think.
Yeah.
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 Key and Peele, Keanu, definitely worth it.
Yeah.
So according to our informal survey here in the studio, non-scientific, I'll grant you, only a quarter of Americans really care that Captain America Civil War is coming out this weekend.
I hope to change your minds.
Okay.
So
100% of the people that visit multiple comic book shops on Wednesdays will be in the theater this weekend.
Yes. Hey, this Saturday is Free Comic Book Day. So I'll be going to all of them.
It is?
Picking up a free comic, seeing what deals they have. Why not?
Where is it? Why? Free Comic Book Day?
At every local comic book shop in America.
You mean you could walk into a comic book store and say, I want this one, and leave?
No, they've got a couple dozen special comics. So, for example, they're doing something with Civil War.
Oh, look, here's a copy of Jughead from 1973.
No, not those kind of comics.
There's a free Archie number one that they released because they rebooted it. That's a free, you can go check that out. They'll have them all set out. Go meet some people at a comic book store, grab.
I can't go through the Betty and Veronica thing again. I lived through that once. I can't go through that nightmare of indecisiveness.
Does Paul know you go to multiple shops every Wednesday because that's the release day? As he told you,
we've talked
routine.
About it. Yeah,
it's fine.
Now wait, why is it Free Comic Book Day?
When is it trying to get
once
thing?
A year they do it? I
once
think.
A year, the first Saturday in May.
They look in the back and say which ones haven't sold since last year, and they take those boxes and put them up front and say some geeks will come. I mean, some guys will come in and take these home.
They're all special. They're not. They're made for Free Comic Book Day. Not any other time. So they're like, a lot of them are like issue zero. It's to see, you can go in and see if you want to try it.
Wow, look, it's issue 53 of Richie Rich.
Wow. Richie Rich. Man, you are pulling some things out.
I beg your pardon?
Well, you know, not that way.
So this is a comic book movie.
Yes. Captain America.
Captain America Civil War.
Who is he at war with?
Iron Man. And we're going to get to that.
Okay.
Don't worry.
I don't want to get ahead of you here.
I don't like that.
It's impossible for me to get ahead of you because I don't know any of this. Go ahead.
So an important thing to note, this is the 13th movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It started back in 2008 with Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man. And they've all been building toward not just this event, but this is a big moment in their movies. And that's because we see our heroes, the Avengers, sort of torn apart. This movie begins with a flashback. I'm not going to spoil anything there, but the in present day, it begins with a small group of the Avengers stopping someone from getting a biological weapon. And during the course of them stopping the bad guy, one of the Avengers, the Scarlet Witch, creates or moves an explosion to an area that kills civilians. And so this is this moment at which the people look and say, wait, these Avengers, we don't have control over them.
Wait a second. This was the plot of Batman versus Superman.
Except this is good.
We're mad at Superman because he's an alien and because he's been destroying things and people have died.
Yes, but the problem is they told you all of that in 30 minutes in Batman versus Superman. This is 13 movies in the making. This isn't the first time the Avengers have caused havoc in order to save
people. Who are the Avengers again? I can't remember.
Oh, there's a lot of them, but the main Avengers are Captain America, Iron Man, Falcon,
is Hulk one of them?
Thor, Hulk,
Scarlett
Black
Johansson's
Widow,
one
Hawkeye.
Of them? Which one is Scarlett Johansson?
Black Widow.
Okay.
Hawkeye
from
Vision.
MASH?
Yeah.
Scarlet Witch.
After that show went off the air, he had to do something.
Yeah.
He didn't go home from Korea. He turned into a superhero.
Man.
So all of our favorite characters return, the Avengers.
You know, Henry Blake was supposed to be a superhero, too, but he died before the conversion.
Oh, man.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. So all our favorite Avengers are here, and this sort of flashpoint moment at which the Avengers are trying to stop something but inadvertently kill some citizens.
Mm-hmm.
People say this has got to stop. So the U.S. government comes up with a plan by which all sort of superheroes and enhanced humans will register. And this way they can keep an eye on them. But the Avengers specifically, they will answer to a U.N. council who will say, you are going to go do this. They're going to point them in the direction of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some oversight because right now the Avengers do whatever they want.
Okay, I have to stop you for just a second also because wasn't this the plot of The Incredibles? The animated movie from Pixar about the superheroes?
Yeah, except there they said, you can no longer be superheroes at all. Yeah, you're done being superheroes.
Because
we don't want your help.
Because people have died as a result of some of your actions.
This is not a new...
No, it's not.
This is not a new concept,
no,
but it depends on how well you do it.
Okay.
And this creates the schism in the Avengers. Tony Stark, Iron Man, says, I'm for this. He feels racked with guilt over not just this, but the other incidents that have led to the death of civilians.
Okay.
He says, we need someone to control us. Captain America, being the true American, says, no, we are founded upon this sort of personal liberty. And who knows better than I do where I'm needed? And I don't trust these bureaucrats to do what is right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the central conflict of this movie.
Okay. That sounds like the thin plot line device to have two superheroes fight each other.
It would, except these are good actors. Robert Downey Jr. is a believable Iron Man. Okay. Chris Evans is a believable Captain America and portrays that very well. And they feel like sincerely held beliefs. You're going to buy into this. This isn't just a clever plot point. This is what 12 movies before this have been building to.
Okay.
It's not new tension. This is there, and it finally comes to a head. I'm mentioning these 12 movies, and I'm going to get this out of the way. If you have not seen any of the other movies, I'm not saying you can't jump on here. I'm going to say it's like trying to jump onto a train that's moving 80 miles an hour. It might be tricky. You're going to enjoy the ride, but it might be a little rough.
Mm-hmm. Because you won't know who the characters are and what their characteristics are?
Some of that, but you won't get the backstory that they just kind of refer. I was looking back. I think this may be a sequel to three movies. Like, you're going to have to know pretty well what went on in three movies to understand everything.
Okay.
That said, it's still a lot of fun. But let's go back to what I was kind of talking about. You believe these characters, and that's important that you have two strong characters in this, Iron Man and Captain America, because there are a bunch of other characters who come into the mix here, because they each have to recruit teams. Iron Man needs people that support him so they can get Captain America and his people in line. Well, Captain America needs people. So you see your favorites come out. Ant-Man, Spider-Man comes back because Marvel bought the rights for a whole bunch of money. And I don't want to give too much away about Spider-Man other than to say this is the best Spider-Man that's ever been on a movie screen.
Wow.
Like, hands, it's not even close. This is the best. And that's very exciting to see.
You know what's interesting about him? He does whatever a spider can.
Yeah.
He does.
Spider-Man. Spins a web.
What does Ant-Man
spins
do?
Spins a web.
Does whatever an Ant-Man can.
Any size.
Ant-Man can shrink.
Just like
Ant-Man
flies.
Can shrink.
Ant-Man can shrink. Is this a true story?
He can shrink so a human can step on him.
Well, no, except he's amazingly dense. It actually shrinks the space in between molecules. So he's like a bullet. Think of it that way.
So you cannot squash him then.
You can step on him, but you can't squash him. But
so you can't kill him.
He's tough. He's a tough little guy. It also introduces us to a character that a lot of people outside comics don't know, and that's the Black Panther. And he's got his own movie coming up. They're introducing us to characters that they have their plans for own movies.
Is this Marvel's attempt to get people of color involved in their universe?
Well, he's been around for a while. He's not new, but
is he African American?
Yes, in fact, the way that they write him in, that's very nice, is the way that they write him in is the people who are killed at the beginning of the movie are citizens of the country of Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Panther relates to Wakanda.
Yeah, because Black Panthers matter.
Nothing to do with that one. The other thing I'm going to say to anyone...
Thank you, Dan.
Anyone who reads comics... As someone who reads comics, there were things I went in expecting. And they did a good job of taking the source material and not just making a shot-for-shot remake. You can tell they love comics and understand the themes of them. And they made a movie that people who have never seen comics are going to like, and people who are big comic book fans, I think, are also going to like.
Mm-hmm. How are the graphics? I mean,
I saw this in IMAX 3D. Go see it in IMAX 3D.
Yeah,
the fighting. We've talked in previous superhero movies and with other things that shaky camera. How you feel? You're getting jostled around.
Yeah,
this is not that. The camera's close, but everything feels well. You're not bouncing around and trying to figure out what's going on. You know exactly what's going on when they're fighting. When the superheroes eventually meet up to fight. Wow, oh wow, is that just fun. Mm-hmm. You're gonna hear the comic book people clapping and stuff because they're excited about something. You are going to enjoy it if you've never picked up a comic book in your life.
All right, because I haven't picked up any of these comic books, I have to ask you.
Yes.
What is Captain America's power? I know he has the shield.
Yes.
Is he impervious to pain and all that stuff?
Prior to World War II, the U.S. government said, we need soldiers, and they began experimenting. Howard Stark, Tony Stark's father, began experimenting with, like, super soldier serum that would essentially make him bigger, stronger, and he was injected with this serum.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got great reflexes, is taller, more powerful than the average man.
Can bullets get...
Yes, oh yes, he can get shot. He gets hurt.
Okay.
But he's
Captain America. But he can bounce the bullets off with his shield.
His shield made of vibranium.
Vibranium.
Don't Google that.
The from hole. Stark Industries. Come on, Dan.
Oh, is it from Stark Industries?
Well, Howard Stark made him the shield. Yes, but the can get down the rabbit hole.
But I'm curious about this because this is the thing that I don't understand in the superhero universe. Like in Superman versus Batman, you can't do anything to Superman because he's impervious to everything except kryptonite.
Yeah,
and yet Batman can fight him. That just makes no sense to me. And in this one, you've got Iron Man, Tony Stark, who's got the suit that's impervious to anything. Nothing can get through the suit. You can't shoot him through the suit.
Oh, yeah, you could.
You can?
You just need a big enough gun.
Okay.
But his suit also runs on power, and it's not indestructible. It's just, it's metal, okay. So...
But this Captain America...
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't anybody ever say, oh, Captain America, get his shield, then fire a gun at him?
Yeah. Well, they've done that before. Yes, but...
Why doesn't he die?
Well, because he's a very good fighter. He's not...
You're not going to win this, Paul.
I just don't understand
it. I know.
It's not a matter of winning. I don't understand. Now, if you told me, well, because he's got this super soldier stuff in him, he just regenerates, that his body rejects the bullet and he's okay. All right, fine. I will go along with that because I know that that could happen in a comic book movie.
Yeah, and we won't go down the rabbit hole too much. I will say this. There are 12 superheroes in this movie at some point, and it would be very easy to get lost and ignore some of them.
Okay, but if you took away his shield, Captain America's shield, you just got a guy who's a good soldier?
Yeah, he's an excellent fighter. He's got a strategic mind.
He's tall.
And he's better than the average human.
Okay.
He's an enhanced human.
Okay.
So, yes, he could do it.
It's kind of like us.
That's what it says on my Tinder profile.
Enhanced human.
But there are 12 characters. There are 12 superheroes in this. And none of them get lost. It's not about all of them. There are really sort of four fairly central figures in this movie. Mm-hmm. But everyone has a moment in this movie. You care about their storylines. And they all... None of them are just, hey, look what happens over here. They all have something to do with moving the plot forward. There are no wasted scenes for the back three quarters of this movie.
All right, I don't want to spoil the movie.
And
we're getting to the end of the review here, so I'm going to ask you this. I don't want to spoil it, but you say there are 12 superheroes in the movie. When the movie ends, are there 11?
Oh, I can't answer that.
Okay.
Now, why?
Your Honor, I'm taking that as a yes.
Yeah. I go to a superhero movie. I don't want to see the superheroes fighting each other because they're supposed to be taking care of the world and taking care of everyone.
Taking on a supervillain.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a great villain in this working behind the scenes.
Oh.
Great villain, and his motives are going to shift and change, and you're going to think he's doing one thing for one reason, and there's a great villain.
Not as bad as Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor in Batman versus Superman, a ridiculous.
Oh no,
supervillain.
Like, this is. I could write, I think, a 20-page dissertation on why Batman versus Superman. I don't understand the cinematic world that allows Batman versus Superman to exist and this movie. They are on the opposite ends of the spectrum, like being a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Batman versus Superman is an embarrassment. This is my favorite Marvel movie yet.
Wow.
13 of them, this is my favorite.
Okay.
And I thoroughly enjoyed it, but... And that's the thing. Not only is it good because I like the story and I'm engrossed in that, and I think millions and millions of people are, because multiple of these Marvel movies have made $1 billion. Like, these movies make tons of money. Yeah. Lots of people are invested. It's not that super dark, gloomy story that you're expecting when mm-hmm. you hear Civil War and see maybe some of the ads. There are consequences to what happens in this movie, but it is still, again, if you've never seen this, if you go see this, it's going to be the most fun you will have at a movie this entire summer, last summer, the summer before that.
Mm.
This is the perfect summer movie in that respect.
Sounds like a 10 out of 10.
It's a 9 out of 10.
Oh, what happened?
The first chunk, there's a few just points where it's a 2.5-hour movie.
Well, see, now that's wrong.
No, it's not, because it's very good.
Summer movies shouldn't be 2.5 hours.
Well, no,
when they're this
right.
good,
two
they should.
Two hours tops.
Well, that's why it could be 2 hours and 20 minutes and probably better. That's the 10.
Okay.
It feels petty to take it away, but that's really it. They could have shortened it by a bit, but man, oh man, did I really enjoy this. And I think if you go see this, I don't understand how you wouldn't. It's just fun.
What is your showbiz boy prediction of first weekend box office?
Holy smokes, I can't even guess. All the money. All of it. Just... How much money do you have in your pocket? All of that. All
well,
of that money.
Well, it's not going to get our money.
Well, yes, it will.
Dan and
whether
and
or not you go to see it, it will get you to make that.
It's
going to
make
$6.
Wow, that's a really big movie. It's getting for
gonna
people make, who don't go.
It's going to make $6. Man.
I don't, hundreds of millions worldwide.
Yeah, but in the United States, a couple of hundred million?
Right around there.
Has there been a movie that's opened to $200 million?
Oh, yeah. Star Wars.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to hit Star Wars levels because it's just not Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's going to have a very, very big week. They're going to make more of them. How about that?
I'm sure
they've already made 13, right?
Yeah. And there's...
And you got a dozen characters, and, you know, the sidekicky kind of characters don't get to do much of anything.
Oh, but they have their own movies coming up.
They do?
The sidekicks,
Black Panther, they're introducing us to Doctor Strange, played by Benedict Cumberbatch, later this year. Guardians of the Galaxy return next year, I believe. Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed that one.
And this is fun. I mean, it's my wife won't go see it because she says it's going to be dark. And I'm trying to convince it's fun. There's a lot of fun to be had in this movie.
Okay.
So go see it.
Captain America Civil War gets a 9 out of 10 from Colin.
I'll pay for you to go see it, Ian. I'll go with you.
Sounds to me like he just wants to go again and he meets somebody because his wife won't go. And that's what that sounded like to me.
Sad to sit alone sometimes.
All right, a few TV things we've got to get to here on the showbiz front. Oh, but before we do that, since you mentioned Star Wars, did you hear who they hired as the new Han Solo?
Yeah, it's the guy from Hail Caesar.
Yeah.
Alden Ehrenreich.
Yes.
That.
Who we liked in the movie. He was pretty funny as the singing cowboy.
He's probably the best part of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The rest of the movie wasn't very good, but he'll be in there. Good choice, you think?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Sure.
He'll be fine. Okay, a couple of TV things. I mentioned about 3 months ago that Louis C.K., who I really, really like. I like this TV show. I like this stand-up. I like watching him on talk shows. He's so entertaining and so talented. That he had this project that he did out of the blue, without telling anybody, without telling his fan base, without telling a lot of people in show business he was doing it. He did this thing called Horace and Pete, which was not a comedy. It was a drama, or actually more a tragedy, about a bar, not like Cheers, but a place where people go to drink during the day, day drinkers, as he calls them. And it starred Louis C.K. and Steve Buscemi and Alan Alda and Edie Falco and Laurie Metcalf and Stephen Wright and a bunch of other comedians, all not playing funny, all playing serious and dramatic roles in this. And he released it through his website, produced it with his own money, and released it on his website and just said, look, it's out there. If you want to see it, it's $5. And then the next week he said, okay, we finished episode two. They were on an amazing schedule. They would shoot it on Wednesday and Thursday. He would edit it on Friday. And on Saturday, he would email all the people on his mailing list and say, okay, episode two is ready. It's $2 this week. And then after that, it was $3 a piece. Now he's out there promoting that if you didn't watch it piece by piece, you can buy the whole thing for $31. Not a discount price, because he figures the people who bought it the first time paid $31, so should everybody else. And he's out there promoting this thing. And in this promotional tour, he stopped by Mark Maron's WTF podcast, which I've talked about before. It's a rather remarkable podcast where Mark Maron, whose career wasn't really going anywhere until about 5 years ago, decided to start doing this thing in his garage in California. And it took off and became so successful that Louis C.K. and Julia Louis-Dreyfus were the guests on his 700th show just a couple of weeks ago. Maron even got President Obama to go out there to his garage, literally the garage at his house in some community outside of Los Angeles. Well, this episode with Louis C.K. is remarkable. Now, I watched the first two episodes of Horace and Pete, and then I gave up on it. It was just a little bit too morose for me. I didn't particularly like where the characters were going or what they were doing. It just wasn't right for me, and I didn't want to pay $3 a week for the rest of it. That being said, if he makes a deal with Netflix and I can stream it for free, I might go back and check it out and see if it got any better, because I heard things, particularly about the Laurie Metcalf episode, that were unbelievable. But on this Mark Maron WTF podcast, Louis C.K. opens up completely about the creative process that led to making Horace and Pete. He goes into great detail about what went through his mind as he wrote it and how he reserved the studio space before he even had the scripts written, how he managed to direct a four-camera TV show with live switching going on while he was acting. He's on the stage, and he's got a crew in a control room there, and he had to go in ahead of time and take the scripts and tell each camera person where to go, where to be the director, when to cut, because they didn't do a lot of editing afterwards. Some, but not an enormous amount. And he also explains on this show what he said to the executives at the FX network, where he had Louis. He went to them and he said, look, I'm putting Louis on hiatus. He's still producing the Zach Galifianakis show, Baskets. He's producing another show with his friend Pamela Adlon. Baskets has already been on, and the other show, and a third show that he's producing, they'll be on FX later this year. But he said, I'm not going to do Louis for a while because I have too much. And then without the people at FX knowing it, he went off and did this Horace and Pete thing for a few months. And then he had to go explain to them before he released it, by the way, remember when I told you I was too busy to do the show you wanted? I was doing this other show without telling you. And he explains in this podcast how he managed to do that. It's remarkable. I've never heard somebody talk so much about the process of anything creative. And it's about an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes long. It is fascinating. I will tell you that he does spoil a couple of things for those of us who haven't seen the show, which is a little bit odd. Like he talks about one of the characters who dies and why he made that decision and what another character does later on in like the eighth episode. He gives that stuff away. And that's what made me think, well, maybe I'll go back and I'll watch some of it now if I don't have to pay extra money for it. But it is a revealing look into this guy who did something unique in television. Because anybody who works in television will tell you. In fact, when I talked to Kevin Nealon last hour, he was saying, you know, anytime you do anything with executives involved, they all have input. They all want to tell you what to do, who to cast, etc. He tells a great story about how the role that Alan Alda ended up playing, he originally wanted Joe Pesci to play. And so his agent got Joe Pesci's agent's phone number and called him and basically said, would you tell Joe that Louis C.K. would like to talk to him about a role? And a few days went by, and he didn't hear anything. And then his phone rang, and it was Joe Pesci. And, oh, hi, Joe. Yeah, did you get the thing? Yeah, look, I don't know who you are. I've never heard of you before. My agent showed me a couple of things that you've done, and you're a stand-up comedian? Yeah, I am. You're not funny. You're not funny. You should really stop doing that right away. And Joe Pesci was just brutal with him. I'm not doing your show. Don't even ask me again. I'm not doing it. Well, Louis C.K. said, look, can I at least come over and talk to you about it? All right, you can come over, but I'm not going to do your show. And in that hour or hour and a half that they spent together, Pesci told him all sorts of stories, including some horrendously dirty things that Louis C.K. said, can I use that in the show? Yeah, go ahead. I'm not going to do your show, but you can take the story and do it. By the way, did I tell you, you're not funny. I mean, and he just goes completely after him. It reminded me of that scene in Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Are you saying I'm funny? Well, here's Joe Pesci saying, you're not funny. To Louis C.K. And it's those kind of stories that he tells in this conversation with Marc Maron. It's an amazing interview. And even if you're never going to watch Horace and Pete, you might want to listen to this just to hear this guy expounding on how he made it and how much goes into something like that behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. It is remarkable. Any other TV stuff you wanted to talk about?
Yes.
Go ahead.
FX is teaming up again with Ryan Murphy, who has executive or created American Horror Story, helped with American Crime Story. They have signed a new show deal with him. It is called Feud. It takes place. I'm going to give you two names, movie actresses.
Okay.
Tell me if you think this would be interesting, the feud between them, their last names, Crawford and Davis.
Mm. Cindy Crawford and Betty Davis. No.
Joan
Crawford and Betty Davis.
Yes. Yeah. Jessica Lange playing Crawford and Susan Sarandon playing Davis. I watch it because all of his shows have been good. Like, why not? And FX seems to be riding that. So, yeah, we'll see how Feud ends up doing on FX. I don't have a date for that yet. Dan Aykroyd, I guess, wants to just beat a horse to death and then some. The Blues Brothers is going to be an animated series.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Animated?
Animated series.
I would have thought that Blues Brothers 2000 he did with John Goodman would have been the end of that thing.
Well,
have you watched the original Blues Brothers lately?
No.
Now, I didn't see it in theaters.
I did.
I don't think it holds up at all. Like, it's not, I don't find it particularly funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame that this is now their, I guess, second attempt to revive it with an animated series. Not good idea. There's a musical comedy that was out that not a lot of people watched called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I saw a couple episodes of it. I thought it was pretty funny, but yeah. I haven't seen the rest. Well, if you go to iTunes, you can get the entire first season for free. So okay. If you have an Apple TV, you can get all 18 episodes for free.
Only on Apple TV?
It's iTunes. Well, if you have an Apple TV, but if you've got an iTunes account, you can watch it through there. It's
okay.
On the CW, though. First season, free.
All right. I'm going to have Ian play for you a few seconds of a TV theme song, which, if you're of a certain age, will be instantly recognizable.
Star Trek.
That stars a themed match game, which ran on TV in the 60s and then came back in 1973 on CBS and ran in the afternoons. Match Game PM.
Yeah.
Which also then went into syndication in prime time as well.
Gene Rayburn with that big, long, skinny microphone.
Yes.
Yeah. They had to cancel it because they ran out of all the liquor in the state.
That's where Richard Dawson got his start on Match Game, and they took him off of Match Game and gave him Family Feud.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, he was the best player on that show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kissed.
And Brett Summers and Charles Nelson Reilly and Fannie Flagg.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Nipsey Russell and all those 70s.
Yeah.
How cold was it?
Charles Nelson Reilly. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, Match Game is coming back.
The host
is going to be that extremely funny guy, Alec Baldwin. What?
Yes. Alec Baldwin?
Yes. He has made a deal with the producing company, Fremantle Media, to bring this back to ABC, and all of the money will go, for his talent fee, will go to his wife, Hilaria's foundation, some arts-related charity. They're going to do 10 episodes this summer. It's going to premiere late next month, and it's going to air Sunday nights at 10 o'clock as part of the, or I guess 9 o'clock our time, as part of the ABC Sunday Fun and Games block, joining Celebrity Family Feud with Steve Harvey, and a new version of the $100,000 Pyramid, hosted by Michael Strahan.
Who
just left the Kelly Ripa, or is about to leave the Kelly Ripa show to go to Good Morning America.
Michael Strahan.
Exactly. Oh. So he's going to do... Who was the original host of the Pyramid?
Dick Clark.
That's right. Ugh. Name these seven things that start with the letter Q.
Yeah.
Ready?
Oh, man. That's awful.
So, I know.
You know, the idea of bringing back game shows to primetime... There were game shows in primetime for a long time. You can go back to panel shows like I've Got a Secret and What's That Line in the 40s and 50s.
Password.
Password.
The password is.
The password is.
But even 15 years ago when Regis hosted Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, that was really what kicked off primetime game show stuff. And now you've got that Jane Lynch show, Hollywood Game Night, and a bunch of others. You know why the networks want to do this, particularly for summer viewing? They're really, really cheap.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you were talking about how they ran out of money because of the
booze.
Liquor that was consumed.
They ran out of booze, not money. They drank all the booze in California. They're like, we got to cancel it. No booze left.
The way they did and the way they continue to do those shows, even shows like Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, is they tape five in one day.
Yeah.
Or maybe they tape three one day and two the next day. But on Match Game, they used to do five. And after each one, Brett Summers in particular was going back to the open bar and enjoying herself. And so by the Friday show, Jane.
Here's an important thing to remember about Match Game. And this is why it won't be successful. How did you win Match Game?
You matched your answer with that of the stars.
But how did you win, actually? Like, how was the winner determined?
I think there was a big wheel that they would spin at the end, and you got to choose one.
After you get the most stars, like, it was out of six. So let's say you had four, you matched with four, the other person matched with three.
Yeah.
You pick one star at the end.
Yes.
And then they
there was a wheel that
three prizes. Well, I think there were different over the years. There were different versions.
This is the point, though.
There were three prizes. It would be blank, whatever. And
that was $500, $250, and $100.
Yeah, and so you would give your guess, and which one of the top three it matched, you would get that
And you could
prize.
Go to Richard Dawson for help if you wanted.
Yes.
Pick one celebrity, and they can help you.
Yeah. But see, that's the point. Jeopardy will always... We understand Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune. Match Game worked because of the personalities.
Oh, it had nothing to do with...
Exactly.
Absolutely.
No, with today's celebrities, this will be... Yeah, this will be terrible.
It's why Hollywood Squares never worked.
Everybody loved
after the original group.
The banter between Charles Nelson Reilly and Brett Summers and Richard Dawson with Gene. It's not going to work. I don't even think if they care if it works because, like you said, it's just for the summer. And
but they want it to come back because if it's successful and cheap, then they can start selling advertising for more. They don't want to start over every summer.
Baldwin's deal not only includes that he gets the money, which he gives to his wife's foundation, but he'll also own ownership in a potential syndicated Match Game offshoot. So that's what this is. It's a 10-week pilot run to see if they can turn it into a long-running series. And it will completely depend. Ian's right. Completely depends on who the six people are on that panel.
And how much liquor they have to drink. The Friday show of Match Game was the best. You can't deny Friday was the best one.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
It was the best.
You know what? I think Friday is the best version of this show, too.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. You're welcome. That's our showbiz stuff for this week here on the Big 550 KTRS.